In the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us quiet in our hearts and our minds and begin these services in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Holy and righteous God, eternal Father, as we have come before your holy and undying word once again, we come from many different lots in life. Our concerns are different. Our fears are different. Our sorrows are different. And dear Father, the many joys that you have granted into our earthly life, they are also different. But you know what matters we are dealing with. And we ask of you, dear Father, that you would remember us very personally in our endeavor of faith. We thank you, dear Father, this morning, especially for our mothers, our fathers, our brothers and sisters, and our brothers and sisters in faith. You have blessed us abundantly. And we ask of you, dear Father, that you also in the future, for the days that we have left upon this earth, that you would continue to bless us so that we could one day reach the shores of heaven. Above all, dear Father, we wish to thank you for this gift of faith that you have given unto us, we that are so weak and poor and undeserving, but yet you have given us this most precious gift a man can own. And for that we can never thank you enough, even though we wish to be obedient and do your will even in the days ahead. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For our text today, I thought I would read from the Gospel of Luke, from its last chapter, chapter 24. I will begin reading from verse 44 through verse 49. With that prayer that God will give us an open heart, a receiving heart, and that he would open his word unto us all. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Amen. This portion of Scripture, at the end, it speaks of a promise that Jesus promises to his children that will be coming to them in the future. And in this case, it was, I believe it was just short of a week where when this happened. And it was that the promise of God was to be sent upon his disciples. And that promise is that the Holy Spirit will descend from heaven into the hearts of those believers. And when we speak of the Holy Spirit, it resides wherever there are believers. And in the world today, believers are spread in many, many parts of the world. And sometimes I wish I could see a map with red little dots where believers are. I thought that would be very interesting to see. But this past weekend, we were fortunate enough to listen to the summer services that were going on in Sweden. They concluded about an hour and a half ago. And they had about 1,000 believers gathered there in my hometown in Sweden. And also Rod and Elaine Nikola, they were also there, and Rod was serving the children of God there. And it was evident that in the sermons that I heard that the Spirit of God is not only here in Kokato, not only among the believers here, but also there through the sermons. It was evident to me that the Spirit of God is teaching them the same way there as God is teaching here. God does not have two ways of... The Spirit does not teach in different ways. And I think it's important for us to always go back to the Scriptures when we have questions. And patiently, in due time, God will give us the understanding that we need for our concerns or questions in life when they are needed. We can securely and fully trust that God will care for us. He will not lead us astray when we endeavor to believe according to the words of God that are written in the Bible. And many times we have to believe even though we don't understand. We might understand little bits and pieces from here and there, but sometimes it is so little that we have to say that I simply do not understand, even though you yet want to believe. So it is important to not begin to reason, find questions according to human minds to explain some things that are in the Scripture. All your answers, all the answers that we might have will be one day, we will receive answers to those in heaven. The Bible testifies of that. And this text that we read, Jesus had shortly before he had appeared to his disciples after he was dead. Jesus died before their eyes. They could see that he died. There was no life left in him. On Good Friday, he died. And now, Jesus is speaking to them sometime after, in person. They could hear him, they could see him, and they could touch him. Jesus was there for real. So imagine, brothers and sisters, if that would be us. We have scriptures to read and to study and to believe on that this is what happened. But if we did not have the New Testament and we would be witnessing this with our own eyes, that one who was dead, one where there was no life left in him, all of a sudden he is alive and he is speaking to you. He's mentioning you by name. There is no way a human mind can explain that kind of miracle. It is only possible through the wonders of God. So even there, the disciples did not understand what had taken place. How is it possible that he is here? Even if he had told them that on the third day the Son of Man shall rise from the dead. So they had to believe, even if they did not understand. And their desire was to believe, even though they did not understand. So in showing himself to his disciples after his resurrection, we can see, we can read, and the disciples were able to also, in a small way, experience that everything is possible for God. I have sometimes thought, when I come to services and when I see other children of God, that I know what I'm like. I know I have a tendency to sin in many different ways. That I must be the least believing of all you brothers and sisters. But everything is possible for God. He can even keep me in faith. That is no small miracle when I imagine of how faulty I am. And maybe there are times when you feel the same way. Being believing today is a great miracle that is gifted to you by God. And God has remembered you very, very personally. Now this text is just a few moments before Jesus leaves this earth. And this happened about 2,000 years ago. And they were at the Mount of Olives. And the Acts of the Apostles say that he was, after Jesus had spoken these things that we read, that he was received into the clouds. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So, these were the last few moments of the life of Jesus until he comes again. And it has been over 2,000 years. And as sure as it was that the Spirit that God promised to come to the believers, which happened in our church calendar a week from now on Pentecost, it is likewise just as sure that Jesus comes again. Has there been a promise in the Bible that has not been true? Everything that was promised to this day, it has happened. Those events have taken place. And that's why it is so important that we personally, that we care for this gift that God has given us, this gift of the Holy Spirit, so that we are travel ready when Jesus does come again. So Jesus speaks to his disciples, and he said that these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So Jesus here wanted to remind his disciples of the most important matter in life. He reminded them how important it is to remain as a child of God, and told them that they had been written in this book, in the Bible, concerning me. He reminded them of the Word of God, and we could say it in this way, that if we were in the place of those disciples, that it would be so easy for us to begin to reason. But Jesus wants to redirect their minds to always rely on the Word of God and what is written in the Scriptures. And isn't that, dear brothers and sisters, also a very valuable instruction to us? Especially for myself, I have a tendency to be logical, to put pieces together and to make sense of certain things. Our life of faith is not like that. We cannot reason our way to heaven. We would be running into dead ends time and time again. And if we were able to, in some ways, to reason with faith, what would be left to believe upon when everything has been explained with our mind? Nothing would be left to believe on. Nothing would be left to have faith on. And it is the faith that saves us. Our wisdom does not. It doesn't matter how much or how little we know of the Scriptures. It doesn't matter how smart we are, how elegant we are with our words. It is only faith that takes us all the way to heaven. Everything else will be left here on earth. Nothing else is acceptable before God but a soul that has been washed with the blood of the Lamb. Only white garments are acceptable in heaven. Everything else is like filthy garments before God. So then Jesus opened the understanding of the disciples so that they would understand the Scriptures and what he had spoken to them while he was yet here. And isn't it so, dear travel friends, that there are times when we struggle with certain things. There are times in life when doubts are especially heavy. Sometimes it could be someone who has departed, who has been called from this life to the eternal rest. Sometimes it could be an unbelieving loved one, someone who we love with all our hearts. When they have given up their faith, sometimes we can battle with our own minds. Our mind is a very powerful, many times enemy to our life of faith. But when we, through the Word of God, when we have a heart that is ready to receive the Word of God, that we would be able to continue as a child of God for one more moment. And when those precious instructions fall into soil in our heart, it feels so good that God has remembered us very personally. He knew the address where to deliver that message just when we needed it. When the Word of God is being explained through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is that Spirit that opens and makes the Word alive and real and something that we fully and completely trust, even if it is just for a short moment. But that is what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God taught the prophets in the Old Testament to depend on Him and to speak and instruct the people of that time. And there is, it's very, to me, it's amazing how the prophets were able to very precisely speak of something that would happen thousands of years later. But they did happen at that very specific way that they explained it. The prophet Isaiah spoke of things regarding Easter, of what was going to happen during the time of Easter. And if I can find that portion. This was written long, long before Jesus was crucified. And prophet Isaiah speaks of Jesus and of Good Friday. He says that Jesus was oppressed. He was afflicted. But yet He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence. Neither was any deceit. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. So precisely did the Spirit of God speak to prophet Isaiah that he was able to explain exactly what happened when Jesus was put to death. And the Word of God, as I mentioned, when it is opened with the Spirit of God, it makes it alive. What Isaiah wrote, we believe. We simply believe that that was the Word of God. And the New Testament then enforces that thought. And isn't it so that many times we need that for our life of faith? We need that enforcement so many times. But there is also another portion in the book of Acts I believe it might be in the 8th chapter where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the Word of God. And he read that exact portion in Isaiah that we just heard. The Ethiopian eunuch, he was not a believer at the time. He could not understand. And then a child of God went and spoke to that person. And he asked that, "Do you know what you read?" And the eunuch answered that, "How is it possible that I know when it is not explained to me?" So then Philip, one of Jesus' followers, began to explain to him what it was, what it meant, that it was concerning Jesus, concerning Good Friday. And the Word of God was opened through the Spirit of God unto the Ethiopian eunuch. And he believed. God opened his word unto him. And it is safe to say that that was exactly what that man from Ethiopia needed at the time, and that it felt so good when the Word of God was explained by the Spirit of God. And then he was baptized and he believed and went back home. And what happened after he went back home, we do not know. But with a child of God, it is so that the fruits of faith, they are there. So in a childlike way, I like to think that he spoke of what he had found, that treasure, unto others, so that they would be able to believe as well. In the 46th verse, it continues that Jesus said unto them, that thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. We have often heard, and many times I have even thought that to myself, wondering that how much easier would it have been if we would have been there at the feet of Jesus when Jesus spoke all those years ago. You'd be able to see him and hear him. You'd be able to touch him. What would it be like if Jesus was here today in person? We would be able to hear him. We would be able to see him with our own eyes. Physically, we would be able to see him and touch him. Think if he would be here today in that way. We would not be in a hurry to go home. And it would certainly, for me, it would still many doubts, because it would please my own mind, my own reasoning. Now I would get this enforcement that Jesus indeed, he is there. And now, when he goes away, I would have an easier time to believe that he's there, even if I can't see him. But what does the Bible say? Those believers around Jesus, they were blessed beyond measure. The Bible says that blessed are they who cannot see, but yet believe. We are equally beyond blessed by God to be children of God today. We can, with a childlike mind, we can trust and believe that Jesus is here in our midst. And he is speaking to us through his children with many gifts. Not one of us has the exact same set of gifts. We are all different. The gifts have been distributed to all of us in various ways. That is how rich God is. He can give these gifts to all of us, even though they come in different forms. At the end of our text, Jesus then comforts again his disciples, and he says that, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The power, as we mentioned, from on high was the comforter that comforts us in time of need, in time of sorrow, in time of struggle. It is the Spirit of God that is that power from on high. And as this text tells us, it is given to us from on high, from heaven. It is given to us by God. We are not capable of receiving and finding the Spirit of God by ourselves. But it is God who is opening and preparing the hearts of men and those that are yet to come into the kingdom of God. God is preparing them also. And when they are being preached that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, they are participants of the same power that every other child of God has. Every child of God is allowed and instructed to preach the forgiveness of sins to those who repent from unbelief, and to us that are dwelling in God's kingdom, endeavoring to put our sins away. If we were to try to make our own way to heaven, we would fail miserably. Nothing that we have is pleasing to God but His Spirit. That is what will live forever. And when we continue to be obedient to the Word of God, just as these disciples were in our text, we would once reach the shores of heaven. The disciples were instructed to go to Jerusalem and to wait until the power from on high would be granted unto them. They went back from the Mount of Olives where they were. And shortly before they left, Jesus had brought them to that mountain. And Jesus lifted up His hands and He blessed them. Certainly, the disciples needed to be blessed. They needed to be comforted. And Jesus, one last time in person, He lifted up His hands and He blessed His disciples. We bless one another also here in God's kingdom, even though we cannot see Jesus with our own eyes. The power is the same, because it is the same Spirit that blesses us as Jesus blessed His disciples there at the top of that mountain. He forgave them their sins, and they were forgiven in heaven because it was blessed and forgiven by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, dear brother, dear sister, the journey to heaven is sometimes very difficult. It could be a struggle on many levels. Believe and uplift your heart, and believe that this blessing, it is the power from on high. Believe all your sins and doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, all your sins are forgiven. Can I also believe my many sins forgiven? We cannot reach heaven with our own strength or our own knowledge. It is God who has called us to be His children, not the other way around. We are not capable of looking for God. But God called us first. And even the little bit of faith that we have, it is sufficient, and it will lift and it will carry all the way to the shores of heaven. Little is much in God's hands, and even the smallest portion of faith is enough. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch found comfort in the Word of God, isn't it so, dear brother and sister, that the Word of God is a comfort unto us even this day? As weak and faulty as we may be, our faith will once carry us to heaven. Believe again, all your sins and doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And we are also celebrating Mother's Day today. And most of you, especially you younger ones, your mothers are here. You are able to see her and hear her and visit her. Continue to do that. There comes a time in life when it is not possible. I wish that I could visit my mother more than I have. Our mothers are precious to us. You do a selfless work. God will repay you for your obedience, even though sometimes it must be difficult to sacrifice so much for your children, for your husband, for your home. Your own desires many times are being put on hold or disregarded while you raise those plants of heaven. Parents are a blessing from God. And as when we are young, so many times we take it for granted that they will always be there. It is not always so. Visit your mothers, your fathers. One day you are not able to, and then you wish you would. More than anything, you would want to go and have a few words with them, even just to see them. Remember your parents. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.